Michigan on the football field.
We don't want to coach average. I don't want to be around you. Why be around average?
We do want to win because winning is the epitome of team effort.
Every coach who ever put a whistle around their neck strives to be the head coach at The Ohio State University.
Welcome back, everybody, to Buckeye Bar Guys here on Buckeye Bar Talk. I'm Mike.
And I'm John.
Big episode tonight as we discuss the Buckeyes' big shorthanded victory over Michigan State yesterday, 52-12. It was an impressive game, regardless of who they're playing, just considering that it was the first complete game start to finish, and they were able to deal with a lot of shorthanded issues. And I don't think any of us were expecting that they were going to be offensive line issues. So that was, I think, the one spot nobody ever really talked about, but that's the spot besides Justin Fields where it would scare you if you would have known ahead of time that that was the spot that was going to get hit hard. And yeah, they got through it though, and they won big. So we'll get into that. Hopefully, we don't know yet what's going to happen later in the week, but we'll talk about our later in the week game later in the week. Hopefully it's still those hated rivals to the north, because it's officially hate week. And we love to talk down to our you know what, a-holes from the north. But we'll talk about Michigan State. We'll talk about their brother. They call them little brother, but it seems like little brother beats big brother more often than not. So as happened this year, and right, we dominated little brother. So just your general thoughts before we kind of get into the game itself. How did you feel about the win yesterday?
I felt great about it because we look good. We look good in, you know, we're still improving in areas that we wanted to improve in. So I want to preface everything I'm going to say with that. I felt really good about the win. Reflecting back on the game, though, I kind of thought about when we played them in 18. Remember, we beat them like 26-6. It was a 3-score game. You didn't really leave the game with much though, because you weren't sure, because they just couldn't do anything all day. We really couldn't do anything either. So part of me was like, okay, well, let's see what really happens, you know, in the next game or the next time we actually play somebody, see if these things are fixed or see if they're really that bad. But, you know, Ohio State was able to do things offensively in this game. So it didn't feel like, you know, Michigan State, they got a better quarterback in there, and Michigan State, they've been pretty good at hitting long passes this year. So these are all things that they seem like they were a good enough team, and that the weather wasn't bad enough that we know it was like Ohio State did stuff. We know it wasn't the weather affecting anything. So I do feel really good about it. I just want to kind of, you know, temper what my thoughts are right now. Now, big concern is the offensive line, because I don't think you need to be at full health to be at the next. I think we can miss all those guys next week too and be fine. But you know what scares me is number 52, Wyatt Davis, got hurt at the end of that game, and we don't know how bad that is.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Hopefully, I mean, we'll find out probably a little bit more as the week goes on. Hopefully it's not that serious. But I mean, like you said, we're not really sure. I mean, I don't know. Have you seen any rumors or anything? I haven't really seen anything today.
Well, I mean, I heard he was walking on the sideline, but he wasn't really putting any pressure down on his leg, but he's a big guy. So if it's a twisted ankle, you know, that's hard to put a lot of pressure on. So, but the other thing, I heard they might've had to give him crutches, but that was confirmed, not confirmed. No one really knows. So it might have been, they said it might have been in the tunnel, but again, he's a big guy, 300 pounds. If you have a twisted ankle, you know, that's
crutches could be a big thing. It might not be a big thing with linemen. I mean, anything to help them brace themselves. I mean, so they're not necessarily having to walk with people.
A 300 pound man, you know, if you can't put pressure down on your leg, you're going to fall over. That's just,
Gravity doesn't work as well for us bigger fellas than it does for others. So,
So I don't know. I mean, I hope he's healthy. Obviously, everyone hopes he's healthy, but that's just something to be concerned. So we're just going to have to wait and see on that one, because that would be a huge miss. I think you felt good enough, though, with how DeJuan Jones looked at tackle, that if those other guys, you know, come back this week, if it was just like contact tracing stuff or maybe minor injuries and you got him back, I think you could actually slide DeJuan guard and feel fine about that.
Yeah, I think probably we're going to, I mean, we know that there's a decent amount of the players from at least everybody that has kind of talked about that. It's there's a lot of contract tracing on the team that were held out. So it seems like we're going to get a decent amount of people back this week. We won't know until we know who was. I mean, I'm assuming somebody on the offensive line, at least one, if not two, actually does have COVID-19.
Yeah.
And then the rest were contact tracing. We just don't know who that is. I mean, it could be something, you know, a little bit more serious where it's actually one of your starting right tackles or Myers. Or it could be something maybe not as serious where it's, you know, and I don't want any, you know, say that anybody getting sick is not serious, but, you know, Paris Johnson, if he's, you know, able to recover fine from it. I mean, he's not a starter, you know, it would be, I mean, it hurts your depth a little bit, but you know, that doesn't necessarily, he would be maybe, you know, if you think about it, just, you know, it's not Munford or MPF. And
right. But I mean,
those are the contract tracing. So, I mean, we don't know. I mean, we won't know until we know. I don't know how Ohio State's going to approach us this week. We might not. They might just decide to say, I mean, I know he doesn't release stuff. I'm hoping he wouldn't, maybe in that situation, maybe would say something, be like, hey, these were contact trace kids and they're back. And
yeah. And, you know, but to be fair and positive, staying optimistic, Max Ray, you know, surprisingly, no one ever talks about Max Ray on the offensive line, and he started at right tackle and he looked really good.
Yeah.
Like he did a good job. I mean, he wasn't like, you know, blowing people off the ball or anything. Like he didn't look like an All-American out there, but I don't remember. I think he might've got beat once. I mean, he held up his own though. He did a good job.
It was definitely a good confidence game for him. I mean, and you think about Harry Miller, you know, if Myers is one of the actual positives, I mean, you feel better now going forward him as starting center than you did after that first series. I mean, that first series, it was almost every snap was a bad snap, where then as the game went on, he only had a couple more bad snaps. The rest of the game was pretty solid. So it seems like he just needed to kind of get his feet set, because it's just, you know, it's a lot being thrown at. There's a lot of nerves when it comes with that. I don't care how good of a high school recruit you're coming in. I mean, he wasn't a center in high school, you know, so that's big pressure. Maybe it's more pressure if there's fans in the stadium, but it's still, you know, your season depends on this, that you not make mistakes. And so that's a lot of pressure. And, you know, he ended up bouncing back after that first series pretty good, I thought.
Yeah. I mean, it's still, you know, some of the snaps still weren't where they needed to be. It was definitely rough. And I even put out on, you know, Twitter beforehand that the scariest thing for me out of, you know, Proctor could be out, Tough could have been out. The one that scared me the most was Myers, though, having Harry Miller slide over. I mean, I said I had full faith in him. It was rough the first, you know, quarter. I mean, definitely the first series was rough. Justin Fields, he looked like a middle infielder out there, though, man. He was picking those balls clean. Like they were not good snaps, but he was ready for them. So kudos and props to him for, you know, being able to do that as well. Because if you had a guy that couldn't control those, that would have been a disaster in that first series.
Yeah. And speaking of Fields, and, you know, I mean, I know these guys are not always thinking that, you know, the Heisman this and the Heisman that. I think the unfortunate thing that was happening this year between Ohio State lack of games played that, you know, and this is kind of turning into the Mac Jones, Kyle Trask show right now at Heisman, but I don't think that he's getting enough credit for yesterday's game. I mean, your head coach, the quarterback whisperer is out. Your quarterback coach, you know, is out. You have three starting offensive linemen out and the third tackle that is out. So,
well, I mean, you had four positions on the offensive line that had new starters because Harry Miller had to slide over.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's just like, I mean, that's, and he performed so well. I mean, I know he was just a shy of 200 yards passing, not his best passing numbers, but he was still pretty accurate for the whole game and considering everything that was going on. And, you know, he sped up his mental clock a lot faster than what he has in past, which I was very appreciative of. At least
it showed
me that he understood the situation that going on. He needs to find the person open or take off. And in a situation like what yesterday's game was, that was the right approach to it. That, you know, you might, with new starters, a raw offensive line, you're not going to have maybe as much time as you think you do. So you got to, hey, if my one, maybe my number two guy aren't open, I got to go. And he did that. He ran the ball perfectly yesterday. And I mean, Justin Fields just, every day, every game still, I mean, I know he had the rough game last game. I mean, he still threw for 300 yards.
He still had 400 yards of total offense.
Yeah.
Worst game as a Buckeye.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, he's still impressive. I mean, I've said this before. He's most impressive quarterback that they've ever had there. And, you know, I've loved some of the older quarterbacks. I mean, I know Dwayne has a lot of great numbers now, has a lot of the records. You know, I was always a very high on JT. I grew, our heyday is the Troy Smith era. And then even before that, the Bobby Hoye and Joey Germain era is doing, you know, we grew up watching this team. So, I mean, there's some good quarterbacks there that have played at Ohio State. And I mean, I just think he's heads above all of them. I mean, he's just an unbelievable athlete.
Yeah. I mean, like you said, you got to understand he didn't have the time to sit back there and get 300. Like he knew what was in front of him, what was being replaced and what he needed to do. And he got it done. He did short passes to, you know, Garrett and Chris Olave. And he hit a couple long ones to them. I know the one Garrett Wilson one got called back, which that is what it is. I mean, I don't know, but Teague was falling. I'm not really sure that was a holding or not, but
exactly.
Yeah.
He was trying to brace himself from falling on the ground, but I mean, he did have a hold on to his jersey. So I guess I don't think he was purposely trying to hold him. I literally think he was just trying to grab onto something so he didn't fall over.
Right. I mean, with his body being in front of the guy, that guy wasn't getting to Garrett Wilson anyway. So that's a lot of yards that were taken back from Justin too. So you gotta remember that, but Justin took off, you know, he ran, he got over 100 yards rushing. So he kind of looked in a way it was kind of like, JT, he was a much more dominant, much more prominent runner in the offense. So it was something that we really hadn't seen too much from Justin. We know he can run, but that he was making those decisions. And those commentators from yesterday, the one said that he had always heard that bad quarterbacks, when they feel pressure, they run. Good quarterbacks, you know, they're still looking downfield and they throw the ball. Like, what kind of analysis is that?
Hey, Buckeye Nation, it's John. Just want to let you know, we had some technical difficulties and we dropped our Skype call right around this point. So when we come back, I will be explaining to Mike kind of where we left off, because I wasn't sure where the call disconnected on his end. So that's why you'll be hearing me explain to him that I was talking about Justin Fields. So we're going back to the episode now. Thank you.
Sorry about that little technical difficulty we had with our connection. So anyways, Mike, what I was saying, though, is Justin Fields, you know, he was he did a hell of a job running yesterday, and he kind of was more so like, almost JT Barrett, got himself much more involved, you know, making those quick decisions to start running. So I was impressed with him. He had a great game. I know he only had 199 yards passing, but he made up for it.
Yeah. Now in the running game, which we'll hit into, we'll use that as our segue. So Teague didn't have his best game of the year, but Sermon picked up where we got a running back over 100 yards, and you know, that's all that matters. He had a beautiful touchdown run. And so, I mean, just what you think about how Trey Sermon ran yesterday. Ran hard, in my opinion, and it looked good. Two big runs. One of them was for a touchdown.
He needed that touchdown. That guy keeps he needs to keep building his confidence. So I was very impressed with his running. I've been very impressed with his running, though, for a couple weeks now. I mean, I know there are things that are still flawed and not complete in his game. And, you know, the guy's coming off an injury. He's coming into a new system. He didn't really have any time to work with his team, work within the new system. But he is running the ball very well. He's getting, you know, a lot of yards per carry. So I'm very impressed with him. I think he's just the more complete he keeps getting, you know, the more ideal situation we have with those two different backs that can do two different things.
Yeah. I think a lot of people have to also remember is that J.K. Dobbins played three full years and it was three full years in this system. Yeah. You know, Ryan Day's been his coach, you know, whether it's offensive coordinator or head coach now for, you know, three straight years at least. So, I mean, that's just a different type of way to look at it that, you know, yeah, he's a much more veteran in that system. And I think everybody that we don't have a JK. Well, I mean, who knows what if these guys would have the same amount of time, who knows what these guys would be like.
Right.
In the system. So, I mean, I think that's always kind of a way to look at that stuff. But I was impressed with Trey Sermon. I thought he ran the ball hard. The biggest thing is to establish a run, and we established one. We got between him and Fields, what CJ Stroud ended up doing. And then, you know, Teague, you know, I mean, we ran for 322 yards and, you know, that's a balanced game. If you could throw the ball for 200 yards and run for over 300. I mean, I don't care how you get to your 500 yards, as long as it's a mix of a 300 to 200, you know, that's right. Usually that's a good stretch.
Right. No, absolutely. So I agree with that completely. I mean, it's not like they had to run for 500 yards. Like they still had 200 yards in the air. It was an impressive offensive game. So, and you know, a lot of contributors running the ball. Mayan Williams, I know he didn't have many yards. He didn't have many carries, but I was damn impressed with how hard he runs the ball.
Running very, very hard. And I like that from a freshman, you know, that's coming in, getting your carries as you can get them. And you don't know when you're going to get another carry. And he used it to the best of his advantage, that at least he's sticking out, get some film out there. And who knows, starting next year. I mean, I know you got the two freshmen coming in, but I mean, he's very much could be part of, you know, being looked at as getting legitimate, you know, carries next year.
Right. Absolutely. Yeah. So let's go to the defensive side of the ball then. And I was impressed for the most part. I mean, it was a fake bubble screen that I think Marcus Williamson or someone bit on it. And yeah. they had a huge, it was their touchdown drive.
Yeah. So. It was a fake bubble screen and they, he shouldn't have come up, but he did. And I mean, Ohio State's gotten secondaries off of those type of plays before. I mean, it happens. You don't like to see it. You got to pay attention if somebody's trying to run by you, but you know, I mean, something to work on, you know, watch your cues and stuff. But, you know, for the most part, I was pretty happy with the secondary. I was actually really impressed with Marcus Hooker when I really go back and look at it because, you know, he stayed back. And if you're going to play the deep safety, staying back is the most important thing. He maybe he needs to be a little quicker reacting to the ball when the ball's in the air. But he flowed to where the ball was being thrown to. And he stayed back and didn't bite up at least. And anything, he might have did it a couple times, but nothing major that is sticking out in my mind, like, you know, the previous game that they had. But, you know, so I was impressed with that.
And he got himself a pass breakup because of it.
Yeah, exactly.
So, I mean, yeah, maybe he could react quicker, but he put himself in position that he could make a play. He didn't get himself out of position where he needed an amazing play to make a play on the ball. So
and half the battle with the reacting quicker is just staying back. I mean, with game reps and stuff like that, the reaction time will get better, but you can't react if you come up to try to stop a phony run or a phony underneath pass when you need to be back. So the fact that he stayed back, I mean, that's literally half. That's maybe two thirds of the battle. The reaction times will come as he gets more, you know, seasoned back there.
Absolutely. Yeah. The more he sees, the better he'll get with that. So getting that mental stuff out of the way first, keeping yourself in position, that's the most important thing. The rest of that will come. So, yeah, I was very impressed with him. I mean, Sean should have had two interceptions. He had one. He had one amazing interception. I mean, holy crap. How did he catch that ball? Seven Banks should have had an interception. So they were all in place. They made plays. I mean, you saw short passes. Not that we ever really had. We weren't having problems with short passes this year. But I remember there was one that like Williamson and I want to say maybe Pete Warner was with him. They flowed to the ball real quickly. Got, got the tackle. I think the guy only got a couple yard gain. So all in all, they looked much improved. Now, of course, you know, we got to preface everything. Michigan State's not a good team. We know that. But yeah. I'm not moving back the goalposts. Like that's what we wanted to see. We saw it and I was impressed with them.
Yeah. I mean, you still got to do it though. I mean, that's what I always say when anybody always says to me, well, that's a bad team. Well, when you've seen the whole season that they've kind of taken off second halves and stuff like that, I'm like, the fact that they didn't, that they still played aggressively in the second half, you know, the defensive line was still getting at the quarterbacks. I know the backup quarterback looked pretty good, you know, but that's more on Michigan State. You know, maybe you should have been giving this kid more chances throughout the year because he honestly looked like he was probably the better of the two quarterbacks. And
yeah, what the hell, man? Why is that kid on the bench?
Yeah, I mean,
he must not be good in practice or something. I don't know. That makes no sense to me.
Maybe they just love Lombardi's toughness and stuff like that. But I mean, when you get, and of course things look different. I don't know. Maybe the Ohio State was playing a very bland defense after he finally got in the game, but you know, they were still hitting him and he was completing passes. So, I mean, you know, it seemed like the defensive line wasn't taking off against him like they did, you know, they were hitting him like they were hitting Lombardi, but you know, he had some good throws. I'm not going to take that away from him. But, you know, those throws weren't, you know, outside of, you know, what, a touchdown and a field goal. They only had two good drives. The other one's a safety. So, yeah. I mean, still the good, better throws still wasn't equating into points. So where in other games, they did equate into some points. So,
right. And like I said, the corners, they were in much better position this week. I mean, they had pass breakups that honestly should have been interceptions. Haskell Garrett, I mean, I thought Tommy Togiai was, you know, the best defensive tackle you had. And Haskell Garrett is, if he's number two, it's not by far. And we might be talking about like two of the top defensive tackles in the country.
Yeah. He's starting to give me coming down the stretch. I know it's a short season, so I don't know if he's going to end up getting the game time necessary when they get into the playoffs to really, yeah, solidify that. But he's starting to really give me a lot of Michael Bennett vibes now that, you know, he's just in he's in the quarterback's face. I mean, when they were coming down to the stretch in 14, Michael Bennett, I mean, there was times where he was, you know, consistently the first guy into the backfield.
Michael Bennett might have been more disruptive than Joey Bosa down the stretch of that season. Yeah, I agree. I mean, Haskell Garrett, he's just, they can't block him. I mean, he's passed the line almost as soon as the ball snapped. So he's definitely shown to be one of the more impressive, you know, defensive linemen, defensive tackles that we've had in some time. So, yeah, I kind of feel the same way with you. That's exactly who I thought. I'm like you said, you know, you don't really have all the game reps, so you don't know if he'll really get to that point in the playoffs.
I'd like to see what he looks like against I'd like to see what he looks like against a better offensive line, because Michael Bennett still dominated Alabama's and Wisconsin's offensive line and, you know, in the championship game and then heading into the playoffs. And, you know, so I would like to see what Garrett looks like, what Haskell looks like when he is going up against a legitimate playoff team offensive line, because I mean, if he's still playing that good, then that could be a force to reckon with where that could put them in a position to win national title.
Absolutely. And, you know, it would be wrong of us to talk about his pass rushing ability and how disruptive he's been and one of the best defensive tackles in the country. And we skipped over the fact that he tipped a ball up to himself and got a pick six out of it. So,
yeah. Did you see what Ryan Day said when he ran around the house screaming when when it happened?
Oh, that was funny. On game day, I mean, I don't like watching game day. Those guys are clowns. But he had said that he told his kids that the tolerance for noise or the tolerance for commentary is going to be close to zero today.
Yeah. So definitely not watching, coach. Not a typical fan watching a game at home. He probably a different perspective. It'll be glad to have him back on the sidelines this week. You know, but you know, you think about it with the defense, you know, Madison was gone too. It was sick. So, I mean, it's just, I mean, everybody lost somebody, you know. I mean, he was, yeah, he's the play caller on the defense, right? Or no, Combs, because Combs moved down. So, you know, but I mean, they work in conjunction with each other. I mean, you're basically your typical spotters weren't up in the booths because
who was up there?
I don't know, because Wilson had to come down the coach offense and, you know, and Madison's tip. I mean, I'm assuming, I don't know if Washington ended up going up there because Barnes was out. They might have
I think I saw Washington on the sideline. He went up when one of the linebackers made a play. I'm pretty sure he ran up to him.
Yeah, maybe they just had a couple of the assistant coaches that are underneath the official assistant coaches were up there, because I don't know who they had up there, because I mean, you needed everybody down on the field. I mean, I know Stud normally coaches on the field. I don't know if I saw him yesterday, but I know Hartline I saw. You know,
Stud was down there because there's a clip you could see him talking to Wyatt Davis after one of the drives.
Okay. So, I mean, yeah, every one of their main coaches that were still coaching was on the field then. Yeah. So, I mean, that's crazy to think of.
Yeah, we look good. Guess you didn't need to be up there against Michigan State. So that's,
and the one thing, if this game does anything for them, I just hope it gives them sometimes you just need that thing to circle the wagons. And I hope this is it, because, you know, this was a lot of stress on you, even though you may be playing a team that's not anywhere near your caliber. You know, you're still playing a lot of backups, and, you know, they haven't really relied a lot on the backups this year because they're trying to build so much continuity, because they're already were starting behind the eight ball to begin with. And then you've lost a couple games. So it's like, you know, I know a lot of people are saying, you know, they want Justin out of the game and stuff like that, but I think they're trying to work on a lot of stuff right now. And, you know,
I know, I get that. I do think, though, up four scores in the fourth quarter, Justin could have been out of there, and that way Wyatt could have been out of there.
Yeah.
That one just kind of, I don't know, that kind of bothered me. I mean, there's still a lot of time left in the game. I think there was like 11 minutes left or something like that, but I'd hate to, you know, Wyatt Davis, if we lose him for any extended period of time when we probably didn't need him on the field.
Yeah. It's true. And hopefully, you know, knock on wood, it's nothing serious that, you know, we'll see this week. We'll be seeing a lot of stuff this week. I mean, you know, right now we're not 100% sure who we're even really playing. I mean, we assume it's the rivals, but I mean, they canceled last week. So, I mean, we'll find out more as the week goes on. The Big Ten, I do want to say, you know, because, you know, I don't know when we're going to tape our next show. The Big Ten needs to be really, they need to be really aggressive this week to see in how they need to get a good idea from Michigan. Like, where are you guys at? Because, you know, this isn't going to be a Thursday, Friday decision unless you get new cases as the end of the week. I understand you can't protect against stuff like that, but your last week's cases, we need to know where you're at with those, because
right.
Like, and can you field a team? Because if you don't think you can field a team, then we got to postpone this or cancel this game so we could possibly move another team into that spot.
Yeah, that's, I completely agree. So we're recording this Sunday night. So, you know, hopefully we got an idea Monday. Like, I don't think we can go into this Tuesday. So you need to know right away, like you said, because they're going to have to make that decision of, you know, someone's got to move around. I mean, I think, and I know our good friends at Indiana, I'm not sure if they've missed a game this year. So, you know, they might have to, whoever they're playing, I have to play Ohio State, or they got to shuffle things around. So, you know, Maryland might get thrown into the Ohio State game, and they got a lot of moving pieces. Different teams play different, you know, not who they were expecting to, but you can't go into Tuesday with any uncertainty that the game's going to kick off.
Yeah.
You got to have a plan in place.
And, you know, that was kind of what I would, maybe would be the best thing to do and been like, you know, go to Minnesota. You know, it seems like they might not be playing this week, and try to get these teams that might not play. You guys have to make a decision, because if we're going to have to reshuffle this, even if that means they're going to let Ohio State and Indiana play again, I'll play them again. I'll play them
in Bloomington.
I saw some commentary from, Dan Dakich about how it was obvious Indiana was the best team on the field a couple of weeks ago. And I'm sorry, we were so up 35-7 and we played a very sloppy second half, but that, I don't know how you can watch that game. And basically we did exactly to them what they did to us in the second half. So, you know, they were just as bad as us in the first half as we were in the second half. So, I mean, how can you say one way or another?
Well, we won. Yeah, I mean,
we won.
I'll go off on a tangent here about Indiana, but I just, this whole like moral victory thing. I mean, I'm seeing so many people like, because Indiana's played well this year, that they deserve to go to the Big Ten title. Like, that's not a real thing. Like, you got to have the record to go there. Yeah. I mean, there's an undefeated team that beat you head to head. Like, Ohio State deserves to be, unless Ohio State loses this Saturday, Ohio State deserves to be in Indianapolis. And guess what? As soon as we see a kickoff on Saturday, tickets punched. I mean, you still gotta, you know, you gotta win, because you can't afford to lose anything in your shortened season, but that's all we need. That's game number six. So I don't know. Yeah. I mean, what's the narrative going to be then at that point? Because I know Indiana's, they're going to die on this hill, those fans. So I don't know what they're going to say then. I mean, it's turning into like, they got some moral victory because they got 500 yards passing and within one score of Ohio State. Like, you were down 35-7. We had two fumbles in the beginning of the game that we should have got, that they didn't even review the one.
For sure they didn't even review. I think the guy was getting a hot dog before he was going to the booth. Like, I don't even think he was in the booth yet.
Yeah, I don't know where this comes from, that because they've played well, they deserve to go. Like, awesome. You played great. Like, you know, Ohio State, were we saying in 15 and 16 that we should have went over Michigan State and Penn State, who beat us head to head because we thought we were a better team than them, so we belonged in Indianapolis? No. I mean, it was pretty clear. Like, I mean, the rules are the rules. We lost the head to head game. Those teams won the East because of that.
Yeah. And then this narrative I'm hearing about how, you know, the Big Ten is changing what Alvarez said, that, you know, they might change they're changing the goalposts. The whole six game rule is not even a real rule. That was just
because they thought they had a good enough handle that you would only, you know, at most you were going to lose two games, and then it ended up being a lot worse than what they thought. I mean, look at the teams. Minnesota, I don't think they got in six games. Wisconsin didn't get in six games.
Wisconsin's only played their fourth game this week.
Right. Like, I mean, there's a chance that we're not going to get in six games. But the other thing is, people are like, oh, they're, you know, Indiana deserves to go. They're changing the rules. We are still scheduled to kick off a six game this Saturday. Like, no one has changed anything for Ohio State.
And even at the end of the day, I mean, there is no chance, even if Indiana goes to the Big Ten title, there's still probably a 60% chance that if Ohio State wins their week next week, that they're still going to go to the playoff. Like, you know, I mean, that's not going to do anything beneficial for Indiana. You know, Barry, you could say people are moving the goalposts and all that stuff. That's great. I think Barry Alvarez is a realist. Like, you know, we are in some tough financial times right now, and that $10 million or $12 million, whatever it is, playoff bowl money, like, you know, that's split even ways. So, I mean, that's almost $1 million. I mean, that might save them through the winter of not having to lay a couple coaches off or something at some of these programs. And, like, I mean, I think he's trying to be realistic about the matter. I mean, like, you know, Ohio State making the playoff right now is the best thing for the conference, especially how crappy the conference has looked. So,
yeah, I don't get it. I mean, why would you want to win a Big Ten title that you didn't earn? That's
yeah. And honestly, and it's not like they're not, they're not doing anything like, you know, they're not trying to be, I mean, Ohio State's still undefeated. They beat Indiana head to head. So, right. I mean, they should be the ones playing for the conference champion.
They're not putting one loss Ohio State that lost the head to head matchup to Indiana in the game because Ohio State's their biggest draw. Ohio State's undefeated and is still on schedule to play a sixth game. So one, I mean, it's very possible we still hit the sixth game minimum. Two, they haven't changed anything for Ohio State yet. So I don't know, these guys with the moral victories. And I mean, this is the best season Indiana's ever had. Like, they got to stop embarrassing themselves. Their fan base is being ridiculous.
Yeah, like exactly. I didn't realize they had
to beat the brakes off of us. You had -1 yard rushing. Like, what do you mean? Even if Michael Penix was healthy, there's no way he does that to Ohio State secondary a second time.
Yeah, exactly. You know, that was the eye opener Ohio State needed. I'll play Indiana in the freaking conference championship game. If they want to do that, you know, let's go. Who cares about East versus West? Let's. Two best teams, give us Indiana and let's see how well they do against us in Indianapolis. Like,
only one team's actually ever done well against us in Indianapolis. So yeah, we'll see how the Hoosiers would do. I agree though. If you're going to amend it, fine. Put the two best teams in there. One versus two in the conference, no matter what sides they play on. I'm totally fine with that.
Yeah. And honestly, they should have took that advantage to do something like that this year where, you know, like the ACC did. I mean, the ACC, they have an opportunity. I mean, I know none of our other teams panned out, the teams that we thought would be up there. But, you know, I mean, the ACC is on the verge of putting two different teams in the playoff because, and I know, you know, Notre Dame's only in the ACC for 1 year, but like, because they're doing it the way that they did it, that, you know, they are having them play each other as the two best teams instead of the two conference champions.
Well, I mean, look what the ACC actually did though. I mean, when Notre Dame mathematically was a lock, they told them they were taking away their last game and they gave it to someone else that they're not playing next weekend because mathematically they're in the game already. So they're not putting Notre Dame in a position where they got to risk any injuries or anything.
Yeah. Honestly, and you know, I mean, the Big Ten's not least doing that. And in all reality, they probably should. Like, you know, Barry, like I could see some of these, you know, Barry or whoever being like, you know, no, we're gonna, you know, we're moving somebody to play Ohio State because we need that extra data point.
I agree. I think they should. I think they will. I do think that's gonna happen is if Michigan does say they're canceling tomorrow, they will get a game for Ohio State with someone else. And you know what? Indiana or Rutgers, teams that have already played all their games, they might be sitting at home this weekend. Sorry, I know that's going to tick off all the IU fans. I don't really care, though. I mean, you don't deserve anything when you lost to the team that's undefeated.
Yeah. And, you know, I still like Tom Allen and all that stuff. And, you know, they ended up coming back and playing a good game against us. So I will give them all due credit for that.
Absolutely. I think they deserve to, you know, they deserve a rematch with us. I don't think Northwestern should go to the game over them, but they shouldn't go over us. That's where my argument is. I have no issue if the Big Ten amends, you know, the rules of how the seedings go or how those games go, but they kind of locked themselves into that one when they said one's going to play one, two's going to play two, and you know, down the line.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, that's another, you know, another loss for our good friends up north. They're going to get one this weekend and then they'll get another one that weekend too.
Yeah. All right. Anything else you want to cover on the Michigan State game? I mean, we were dominant. I was pretty happy with the way everything turned out. But I mean, it was a blowout. So
no, I mean, the one thing is Chris Olave, you know, he's got to learn. I don't know what's going on with him in the middle of the field. People being able to rip the balls out from him, but if he's got to get
stronger, you know, you're going to take a big hit. So just hold on to that ball as hard as possible.
Go down, get your knee on the ground. I mean, I'd, you want those yards after catch. I get it. But if you're not, if everyone's able to rip the ball away from you, you got to figure something else out then.
Yeah, exactly. All right. I think we'll call it a night here. Just a nice little quick recap of the game. It was a nice 52-12 victory for the Buckeyes. And hopefully we get plenty of good news this week that we are not only getting a good chunk of our COVID guys back, that they were just contact traced, but that Michigan does not cancel this game. I mean, I want to play whoever. I mean, get us a game if we need to pick up a game, but I still want to play those, you know what, because I nothing better than, especially when they came out with the line today, we're a 30-point favorite, and I would love to beat them by more than 30.
Absolutely. All right. I'm good to go. So I would love to absolutely drill that team by over 30, though. That would be I think we can. I don't see what they have to offer that we wouldn't be able to. They can't stop our run. I don't think you got to throw the ball. I think you can just run the ball and win by 30 points in that game.
Yeah, exactly. All right. Well, it's officially hate week until the Big Ten tells us it's not anymore. So we'll go with that. And I hope everybody has a good night and a good week. And we'll be talking to everybody later in the week.
All right, everyone. Have a good night. Thanks for stopping in tonight. I'm John.
And I'm Mike.
OH.
IO.